Srimad Bhagavatam, 12th Canto, Chapter 8, Markandeya's Prayer to Nara Narayan Rishi, Text 46. Tasmattareha Bhagavanata Tavakanam.
Tasmattareha Bhagavanata Tavakanam.
Suklam tanum svadaitam kushala bhajanti.
Suklam tanum svadaitam kushala bhajanti.
Yat sattvata purusha rupam musanti sattva.
Yat sattvata purusha rupam musanti sattva.
Loko yato bhayam utatma sukam na chanya.
Loko yato bhayam utatma sukam na chanya.
Tasmattareha Bhagavannata Tavakanam.
Tasmattareha Bhagavannata Tavakanam.
Suklam tanum svadaitam kushala bhajanti.
Suklam tanum svadaitam kushala bhajanti.
Yat sattvata purusha rupam usanti sattva.
Yat sattvata purusha rupam usanti sattva.
Loko yato bhayam utama sukham na chanya.
Loko yato bhayam utama sukham na chanya.
Yatsattvata purusha rupam usanti sattva.
Loko yato bhayam utatma sukham na chanya.
Loko yato bhayam
utatma
sukham na
chanya.
Ladies.
Tasmattareha Bhagavanna tatavakanam. Suklam tanum svadaitam kushala bhajanti.
Yat sattvata purusha rupam
usanti sattva.
Therefore. Tava, your, Iha, in this world, Bhagavan, O Supreme Lord, Ata,
end,
Tava Kanam, of your devotees, Suklam, transcendental, Tanam, the personal form. Svadaita, most dear to them. Kusala,
those who are expert in spiritual knowledge.
Bhajanti,
worship.
Yat,
because.
Satvataha,
the great devotees.
Purusha,
of the original personality of Godhead.
Rupa,
the form.
Usanti,
consider.
Sattva,
the mode of goodness,
Loka,
the spiritual world,
Yata,
from which,
Abhayam,
fearlessness,
Bhutta,
end,
Atmasukha,
the happiness of the soul,
not,
Cha,
end,
Anyat,
any other.
Excuse me. Translation: O Lord, because fearlessness, spiritual happiness, and the kingdom of God are all achieved through the mode of pure goodness, your devotees consider this mode, but never passion and ignorance, to be a direct manifestation of you, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Intelligent persons thus worship your beloved transcendental form, composed of pure goodness, along with the spiritual forms of your pure devotees. Purport: intelligent persons do not worship the demigods who represent the mode of passion and ignorance. Lord Brahma represents passion. Lord Shiva represents ignorance. And demigods such as Indra also represent the modes of material nature. But Lord Vishnu and Narayan represents pure spiritual goodness, which brings one realization of the spiritual world, freedom from fear and spiritual bliss. Such benefits can never be derived from impure material goodness, for it's always mixed with the modes of passion and ignorance. As clearly indicated in this verse, the transcendental form of God is fully constitutional of eternal spiritual goodness, and thus is no tinge of the material mode of goodness, passion, or ignorance. Om Agyana Timarandasya Gyanandana Salakya Saksuran Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadam Tikam Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasani Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Na te vidu swarta katim hi visnum durase alie bahirakti manina. Andi atandrupa niyamana te pissetan tramuradam nibada. That the general class of men doesn't know the ultimate goal of life. And they remain bound up within the cords, within the three modes of material nature. Sometimes the word guna is translated as quality, and another time it is translated as a rope, or that which binds. So the three modes of material nature are binding us. Although we say three modes of material nature in one breath, there is a huge difference between the various modes. There's an enormous difference between ignorance and passion. There's an enormous difference between passion and the mode of goodness. The mode of goodness is in many ways parallel to the mode of pure goodness or Visuddhisattva. For example, also in our spiritual life, there are many practices that we follow that are coming from the mode of goodness that also apply within spiritual life. The way we take bath, the way we eat, the way standards of cleanliness in general, these kind of standards are all related to the mode of goodness. Food types, right? We are interested in eating things that are in the mode of goodness. And then offer it, then offer to Krishna. That is the ideal arrangement. So prasadam, so that it is pure, transcendental, and at the same time wholesome. That is our program. So therefore the mode of goodness is also part of spiritual life and supports spiritual life. But even a life following all the standards of goodness, where one has all the brahminical qualities that are mentioned in Bhagavad Gita, Samadham Astapuso, Chung Santirajam Nevacha, Kyanam Vigyanam Astigyam, Brahma Kama Svabhavacham, that one is self, that if one is equipoised, self-controlled, that one is austere, there's knowledge, religiousness, and all these, and tolerance, forgiveness, all these kind of qualities may be there within brahminical personalities. And they also are held in high esteem by devotees. But sometimes we see transcendental personalities who are externally not adopting the mode of goodness. They are sometimes known as avadutas, or personalities who are not following the rules, and just who, and yet they are fully transcendental, because the essence is really the connection with Krishna. It said, but such transcendental personalities who are not so careful about following all the principles of goodness will never act sinful. Right? Never. Because they will never act against the will of the Lord. They will never, ever act in a way that's not pleasing to Krishna. Because a devotee naturally is pleasing Krishna. So the mode of pure goodness is characterized by acting for the pleasure of Krishna, and that is the only concern, really. And then it is followed by a discipline. Srila Rupa Goswami is in the Nectar of Devotion, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, making an important point. He analyzes bhakti in three aspects of bhakti: sadhana bhakti, bhava bhakti, and prema bhakti. And sadhana bhakti, devotional service in practice. And then he points out that devotional service in practice means that one engages the material senses in service to Krishna. So that is the key. And that's a very important key point, which is like crucial to our whole spiritual life, that we somehow or other engage the senses in the service of Krishna. See? That's the secret. So, yes, we can use the body, which is totally material and which is entangled. You know, this is like part of our fallen position. We fell down into the material energy and got this material body, and now we are captured in a material body, and now we have to suffer the consequences of being in a material body. Some happiness and distress we're getting. And basically, we have to get out of this material body. But we can use the material body to get out of the material body. That is the interesting part. That we can use sensual activity. We are a slave of sensual activity. Rupa, rasa, sparsa, gandha, sapta, or form, taste, smell, touch, and sound. These have captured us. The senses are connected to sense objects and constantly relating to these things. The visayi, These sense objects, what is there to see? What is there to taste? What am I hearing? Ah, it sounds so nice. So this is what ensnares us, what is binding us with like millions of strings, unlimited strings attached to so many things that just bind us. So it is very interesting that those very same senses, when connected in service to Krishna, are going to liberate us. And that is like a key element in bhakti yoga, which you don't find in any other spiritual discipline. Mostly, most spiritual disciplines are about withdrawing, you know, withdraw, go into a cave, you know, give up the world, you know what I mean? Get out of this. No. Just redirect the senses. Dance, but dance for Krishna. Sing for Krishna. Eat, but only Krishna prasadam. And everything. So, Rupa Goswami is from the Pancharatra literature and from Srimad Bhagavatam and other various Puranic literatures collected evidence of how to engage the senses in the service of Krishna. And that is like really what we are doing, and that's our business. Therefore, one must be always engaged. So Krishna consciousness is not about simply Savai Mana Krishna Padaravinda Yo, fixing the mind on the lotus feet of Krishna. What are you doing? Huh? I'm fixing my mind. It's like, no, Krishna consciousness is about engaging the senses in service. And then the mind becomes fixed. That is the means for fixing the mind. So certainly we are interested in fixing the mind. Just like Srila Prabhupada said, that when we want to fix our mind in chanting japa, which is so difficult, everyone knows, fix your mind on the holy name is very hard. But Prabhupada said, the simple method for fixing the mind while chanting is to hear oneself chanting. So again, it's about the senses. About engaging the senses in the process. So therefore, the senses have to be engaged in service to Krishna and simultaneously be situated in the mode of goodness. Our foundation is the mode of goodness. Yes. We behave in a externally in the mode of goodness, and that we have to develop and cultivate and learn as much as possible. It is also said, Tadara jastamo bhava kamalo bhadyaschaye mateiva tittam vidhi stittam satpapasidati, that one, by engaging in devotional service, gradually the influence of ignorance and passion disappears, see, automatically, and one becomes situated in goodness, particularly in pure goodness, eventually, unalloyed, pure goodness. The goodness of the material world is always mixed with passion and ignorance. That point is made here by Vidyananda Maharaj and Gopi Puranadana Prabhu in the purport, right? That it is always mixed. That is a fact, because in this material world, we always have selfish desire. We always have a personal agenda. Unless we have become pure devotees, and then we are no longer actually in the material world. Then we are residents of the spiritual world, who are in consciousness residing in the spiritual world. Jiva Goswami's Sandarbhas points out that Mathura is a state of consciousness.
Mathura being a state of consciousness. So the spiritual world is not just a location, it's a state of consciousness. And so, one can be in this material world, and at the same time, one can be embodied, one can be involved with material energy, and one can be totally liberated and be a resident of the spiritual world, because one is fully absorbed in service to Krishna, and internally, one is always thinking of Krishna. One has no other interest than the interest of Krishna. So therefore, this engaging is very important. And that is our mission, to engage the senses in the service of Krishna. Therefore, we must become active in the service of Krishna and take up some service. Take up some steady service. That is the key. The key, according to Srila Rupa Goswami. And of course, Srila Prabhupada made so many arrangements. And Prabhupada oftentimes said that, because we cannot just simply sit under a tree and chant continuously, non-stop, continuous chanting. Then he arranged so many other engagements. Otherwise, Haridas Thakur was chanting non-stop chanting. Yeah. But that's not possible for the restless mind, and also not required to go back to Godhead. Sometimes the stress is there on chanting more rounds, 64 rounds. And there is, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu recommended that one would chant 64 rounds in Chaitanya Bhagavat. But Prabhupada mercifully brought it down for the modern man to 16, which fits better in the modern lifestyle, which is busy, where one winds up having to do so many things just to live, just to survive. People work. All this noise is from people, about people trying to make money. That's what the noise is all about. Needing to survive. Because life has become so complicated. Whereas life, traditional village life, is basically simple. Prabhupada would say that 4 to 6 hours for one's maintenance is enough. That's in village life. That's not in a modern industrial society. 4 to 6 hours, they laugh at you. I can only work 4 to 6 hours. You mean part-time, A part-timer. You can't make enough to survive like that. Rather, husband and wife both work just to meet ends. In so many cases. And the kid goes in the daycare. Very well. So in an artificial society, we have to spend even more time just dealing with the material energy for our sustenance. But it is like that in this world. You have to work. No work, no food. It's like that. Starve. So that's the material world. But that activity must be done in the mode of goodness. Must be done purely and correctly. Like in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, there is an astrologer who meets Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And the astrologer, he can calculate he's known as Sarvagya, that's his name, or his title, he who knows everything.
And then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked him, can you please calculate who I was in my last life? It's like he's calculating and he's shocked. You know, he says like, you know, I mean, in your last life, you were the Supreme Lord Narayan. That's like the calculations they show. And Lord Chaitanya says, it's all wrong. It's all wrong. I happen to know that in my last life I was a cowherd boy, and therefore in this life I became a brahmana. So it's interesting, you know, how it shows that, like, the pious activity of taking care of the cows uplifts one. So such pious activities must be performed. So devotees also perform pious activities and are careful to perform pious activities. Sometimes we've seen this mood, you know, in the name of Sankirtan. In the name of Sankirtan, you know, anything goes, you know, it's like, it doesn't really matter, you know, break a rule here, break a rule there, you know, in the name of Sankirtan. So in Australia, somehow or other, rabbits are not native to Australia. They brought them from England. And because they had no predators, like in England, they just multiplied, like, into huge numbers, you know, the rabbits, right? So even up to the day of today, rabbits all over the place. And then, in the traffic, you know, many times the rabbits run under your car. They try to cross the road, and rabbit number one just goes right in front of the car, and rabbit number two goes right under the car. It's like, pop, another rabbit. Ooh. What to do, huh? What to do? And then we can say, hey, you know, it's all right, no worries, mate. Sankirtan. It's like those rabbits, they got the benefit of being killed by the Sankirtan vehicle. Alright, you know, maybe so, but still we try to avoid, right? We try to avoid the violent lifestyle of the modern world as much as possible, right? You don't have to use doom spray, you know, like, to get rid of the cockroaches. Prabhupada did not approve. Prabhupada said, you know, simply because you are dirty, that's why your house is infested with mice, rats, cockroaches, and so on. Yeah, simply because you are not cleaning. That was his answer to it. I mean, I know not every housewife or anyone in general may agree to that, you know. And said, like, well, you know, what can we do? But I've been asked many times when I was temple president, you know, like, if I was allowing fumigation. I said, like, forget it, you know. It's like, like, I'm not taking that on my head. You know? It's nice, you're in office, and you think, you know, I'm the temple president, I'm doing all this for Krishna. Yeah, that's fine, you know, but you could just pile a lot of karma on top of your head, so forget it. No fumigation, no rat poison, you know, just clean, right? Clean. Catch them alive. In Vrindavan, you have these rat traps which catch the rat alive. It's a little box and a cage and a handle, and you know, go in, whatever, catch the chapati and black, in the box. And you see people walking around with these traps. In India, they tend to carry things on their head. Sometimes you see someone walking with a rat trap, with a rat inside on his head.
I see. And then they walk to the other side of town and let him out. So, you know, we would let our rats go in the other side of town, the people from the other side of town let their rats go on our side of town. This is traditional life, right? So, there are always rats, but anyway, we are compassionate. Yeah. We're not just gonna kill. No way. Can't. So this is important, that devotees develop the mode of goodness. Then, you know, we are a community. Even if some of us are so transcendental, right? So Krishna conscious that they can even be transcendental to the mode of goodness, they will still benefit all the others by acting in the mode of goodness. Because, you know, sometimes we look at this movement and we look at, like, the temple is transcendental, the Bhagavatam is transcendental, Kirtan is transcendental, the deities are transcendental, Prasadam is transcendental, everything is transcendental except me. You also have that experience sometimes. So this is the situation where many of us are in a transcendental environment, in a transcendental process, but we are not so transcendental as yet. And therefore, we need the mode of goodness. So therefore, in our movement, it is very important that we cultivate and maintain the mode of goodness so that we have a safe foundation, which is transparent to transcendence. And then, from there, we engage in devotional service. So, side by side, the mode of goodness and devotional service. That is our process. Now, maybe now we are coming to the interactive stage, the stage where the sleeper, the half-sleeping listener, the mind has an amazing potency. It has the potency to be awake and sleep at the same time, and to sort of go into an inactive mode, and where it hears, but it doesn't really turn over the brain. It's not active listening. It's not really like that we start to think like what we hear. And therefore, when it comes to the point when you say any questions, then it's like, So, therefore, I give you a few seconds to sort of crank it back up. And see if anybody has a question.
Raja, I see that there are three modes which are connected to the material nature. And then you've got the pure mode of goodness there, which is seems to be more transcendental. What is the difference between the mode of goodness in the material nature and the pure mode of goodness?
The mode of goodness, the pure mode of goodness is the activity and the level of the spiritual world. So the relationships that exist in the spiritual world between Krishna and his devotees and amongst each other, that is the mode of pure goodness. And one who is in this world, I said a Jivan Mukta, who is in that state of consciousness of the spiritual world, is nirapeksha, is not affected by the material pushings, pachavekam, anasakrodavekam, jivavedam, udrapastavekam, and so on. He's not affected by the pushings of the senses, the pushings of the mind, the pushings of anger, and so on. Such a personality is always absorbed in thoughts of pleasing Krishna. And it's not just pleasing Krishna means to act in a certain way, because Krishna has made it, has revealed what is pleasing him. And you cannot just, you know, you cannot offer Krishna anything you want, patram fuswam phalam toyam, fruit, leaf, flower, water, and so on. So, in all respects, Krishna has set standards of what he wants. So those standards are reflected in scriptures. Now, the three modes of material nature are a reflection of the spiritual world, of Visuddhisattva. And when that reflection is just not distorted, like in a normal mirror, like, or let's say in a body of water, which has no waves, completely still water, then it's not distorted. If there's a little wind, some waves, if you have a tree that is reflected in the water, then it becomes all wobbly. If there's a lot of wind, then it just becomes a big, unrecognizable blot, right, in the water. Maybe some colors are still there, that's all. So in this way, the three modes of material nature are all reflections of the original mode of Visuddhisattva. But the mode of goodness is directly reflecting it. The mode of goodness doesn't have the same qualities, just like the reflection or is not the same as the origin. You get some of the features, but you don't get all the features in a reflection. Just as we can... a shadow, right? A shadow doesn't... It shows the same contours as the original, and it's recognizable that it's related, but it doesn't have all the qualities. So, therefore, the mode of goodness, it has qualities of happiness within it, but not to the extent of Visuddhisattva, which has transcendental ecstasy, Brahma-sukham. Right? Whereas, you know, in passion it becomes distorted. And in ignorance, so much distorted that it's unrecognizable, practically speaking. The activities of ignorance are... They appear diametrically opposed to this, to Visuddhisattva. So warped. So, because it's a reflection, the mode of goodness follows Visuddhisattva. And therefore, there is a parallel between the two. And therefore, we see that in our spiritual life, we have both. And then, okay, you know, like Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam and all the scriptures define the mode of goodness. Right? Give lists, you know, like, you know, what kind of foodstuffs in the mode of goodness, sleeping, eating, everything. So standards of behavior, places, and so on are all identified in scriptures according to the modes. So if you want detail of which things categorized, then we look at scripture, Bhagavatam and so on, Bhagavad Gita.
Maharaj, you were mentioning how it's difficult to chant more than 16 rounds for someone who has a job or a family situation. But for someone who's living in a temple, what should be our emphasis? What should be our balance between bhajan and engagement senses?
Yeah, I mean, obviously we have to see that the Yuga Dharma is Harinam Sankirtan. And Lord Chaitanya wanted to spread this Sankirtan to every town and village. Prithivitya Chayatra Nagaradikram. Prabhupada made it very clear that that was not just something theoretical, but that he personally took that mission
to spread Krishna consciousness to every town and village. That became his, he dedicated his life to it, he dedicated his movement to it. So we are not, you know, it's not that the Hare Krishna movement is a restaurant, and it's not that we just walk in and ask for the menu card and say, is there a menu card? Can I just have a look? Well, let me see, what kind of devotional service I will have here? I'll have a bit of a deity worship, then I'll have a little bit of Harinam, I'll have a pinch of book distribution, I have a good dose of festivals, and you know, and in this way, we treat the Hare Krishna movement like a restaurant, right? And we're just looking at the menu card. Ho ho ho! It's not like that. It's not. It's Prabhupada's movement, and as soon as you step in, right, you are in Prabhupada's program, and immediately we have inherited, duties. Yeah, we've inherited Prabhupada's work. It's like the family business, you know. Yeah, if you inherit a family business from your grandfather, you get the business, and you get all that money that goes with the business, and you know you got it all made, but you also inherit all the headaches from your grandfather. That's the nature of family business. Right? So, you know, so Prabhupada was speaking about his headache. He was so transcendental, but he took a headache, the headache of trying to make the whole world Krishna conscious. Right? That's a bit of headache. Right? And we've inherited that headache, and that we have to understand. So yes, so we just, you know, if you're finished with making all the towns and villages Krishna consciousness, yeah, then by all means chant 64 rounds. Right? Once you've done that, but of course there are times that we are not so busy. Then we can chant 64 rounds. Yes, that will be nice. When we are not having so much service, by all means, chant. Or when we are going to the Holy Dham on a pilgrimage, chant. You know? Why stop at 64? Go, chant. Jamastami, you know? Chant. If you're not cooking the 108 preparations, then maybe chant the 108 rounds. You know? Or if you're not distributing 108 Bhagavad Gitas. Yeah. Anyway, I know one devotee every Jamastami, 108 rounds and 108 Bhagavad Gitas distributed. Yeah. Already for many years, that's his Jamastami vow. But you know, that's how you get the mercy. So don't forget, we are a preaching movement. And now it's all about, you know, the King of the Zulus. God save our gracious King. That's the program. So, then, if the money comes through, then we'll have to do something. So then, then the 64 rounds may go in the back. Then. Too bad. Anybody else?
What is that critical point or point of transition between the material mode of goodness and actual spiritual pure goodness? Because it's said in Bhagavad Gita, when one is cleared of all sinful reactions, what is that point?
What is the critical point? The critical point, it is a process. If you ask the critical point, you're asking for like to identify one tipping point, right? There are a few tipping points, one can say. There is the initial tipping point of Shraddha, where one makes his first commitment to serving Krishna. That's a tipping point. Right? At that point, the change is made. But we are feeling that we're not yet sinless. We still, although externally we're now only engaging in devotional service, internally we feel still the effect of so much sin. And it's very hard to get a handle on it, and all the material desires are raging. Then, you know, some commitment is made, process of devotional service, initiation, and you know. And then at one point, nista, right? Another tipping point, nista, where we say, now Krishna is, everything Krishna says is first, and I put my faith there. And I just do that. I will stop my own independent agenda. I'll just do what Krishna wants. And then there's a big breakthrough. But still, some material influence remains. Then, you know, there is a further tipping point where one begins to develop taste, attachment, attraction to Krishna so deep. And one comes to the stage of bhava, and at one point, you're just serving Krishna in great ecstasy. Can't think of wasting a moment in service of Krishna. So, but a trace of the material influence may still remain in bhava. Then in prem, at one stage in bhava, one comes to the point where one is prema ruruksu. One is approaching prem. It's at this stage of prema ruruksu, of approaching prem, the siddhadeha, the eternal identity, begins to manifest itself. Then, there you go. Then, you know your eternal identity, not just mentally, but actually you can see the spiritual world. You can see the pastimes of Krishna. You can enter into them, simultaneously being here and being there. Some devotees attain that stage, like some of our acharyas. Anyway, whatever may be, you know, we may die before we ever get there, but don't worry. The real thing is, if in this life we've made a serious endeavor, then we have purchased Krishna's mercy. So if we just make a serious endeavor, we'll purchase Krishna's mercy. And then whether we are 100% sinless or not, we are not acting upon that sin. We're not acting upon the sinful remnants in our heart. Sincerely, then we can purchase Krishna. He will do the rest. Sarva dhammam paricharyam amakam saranam vrajahi aham sarvata tam papevyo. He will take away all these papevyo, all these sinful reactions. Back to Godhead. So in this way, if you want to pinpoint a critical point, it depends. Some devotees become very great and very advanced, and on their own strength they got the mercy of Krishna and went back to Godhead. And others, you know, they were not so strong, but somehow or other they got lots of mercy from the Vaishnavas who pulled them, and somehow or other they went along, and then they did so much service, and then, you know, they purchased Krishna. It's Krishna's mercy. So the critical point is between our endeavor and Krishna's mercy. We must, somehow or other, by hook or by crook, purchase Krishna's mercy by making a very sincere endeavor. Especially in preaching, in keeping good sadhana, and then in preaching, in giving on this mercy. Prabhupada will never forget his book distributors. Don't forget. If you're a book distributor, it may be tough. I mean, you know. But Prabhupada doesn't forget his book distributors. Don't forget. Anyone can do. But if we are distributing books, Prabhupada will not forget us. Well, that helps, huh? That helps. We need all the help we can get, so maybe you start thinking about it seriously. I mean, distribute some books in it. Although the marathon is officially finished unofficially at the back door, it's still going on. So if anybody wants a pack of books from me today, it's still available. Not sold out yet. Okay. You can book it now with me. you book it now. And then, you know, as soon as the packages are available, Vibhu will give them to you. So, don't hesitate. Book a pack now. Just give your name. What is your name? Give me your name. You're on for a pack of books. If you give your name, you're on for a pack of books. Realize that, huh? Okay. That, you know, according to the size of the person, the pack person gets bigger. It's going to be a backpack. Okay, well, all together, you know, we'll all together put something in your pack. Right. Arjuna Char is already loading it up, and Palambari is going to put in a Bhagavan Tim said. It's going to be a good package. And Vibhu will give you the bill. And then you have to distribute them. And for that, Prabhupada will remember you. Me too. Others remember. Anyone else?
Maharaj, in our daily work, I personally have to deal with aggression the whole day. I teach, so the children are really aggressive. Sometimes we do, the teachers have to act aggressively also to be able to control them.
Yeah.
And that does affects me very badly.
Yeah. Yeah, it's an art, you know, to have to deal with others. Right? Me too, you know, like I could be very peacefully chanting Hare Krishna, you know, do a little worship and lots of nice kirtans and leave it at that. But then there are these people that like have marriage problems, right? Or, you know, or devotees that fall down, or devotees that want to have a sex change. And you go like, but
wasn't the philosophy that we're not the body?
So, if I, you know, the amount of complications that we have to get into by social involvement is overwhelming. So it's an art. One has to learn to use
anger in a very controlled way. Cool anger, not hot anger. And one can see, when you're a teacher, there's always the issue, you know, like that the students don't want to be controlled. I was one of those rebellious students, right? Like, but you know, the fact of the matter is, you have the control. You don't have to assert your authority; you have it. And if people don't cooperate, okay. So anybody who doesn't cooperate, very simple, you know. I'll give you a few chances, and then you're out. And go speak to the director. Good luck, you know. Simple as that. And no discussion about it. It's just a few chances, out. I'm not going to get all upset with you. I just lay down the line. Very simple. This is it. See, and if you, I see it with temple presidents, you know, who are trying to assert their authority, you know what I mean? Like, there's no need. You already got it. You're the temple president. Yeah, you're the boss. You have the authority. So the problem is when people, out of fear that it gets out of control, start to try to assert authority, that's when they get under the moats in dealing with such aggression. So in the mode of goodness, you just realize, no, I have the authority. I'll stay calm. I just establish, you know, I'll establish clearly how it is. And if they're not cooperating, oh, then they're out. After a few warnings. You got the first warning. And you know that at the third warning, you're out. Yeah. So, okay, you got number one. I guess you have to start approaching. So in the mode of goodness, one is the tortoise who stays in his own goodness, then puts out the legs, but not too much. Not like that you completely emotionally throw yourself in a situation, a material situation, and just like go like, I'm like, what are we going to do about this? There's a crisis, you know? Like, I mean, I got to try and solve this. And then you come back, and then it's like, oh. Not like that. You got it? Tortoise. Okay. That was exhausting. Thank you very much. Super happy.